God planted a church in Yembe. If we're not convinced of the problem, we're not going to be part of this global mission. If we say we love God, we cannot turn a blind eye to what He loves. And He loves the world. He loves the nations. And there's so many still that don't have the gospel. They don't have a missionary to send or sent to them yet. If you can throw up the map there, all those dots, who want to say what do those dots represent? Yes, Judah. Different languages, right on the first try. Good job, buddy. Different languages. We've gotten to that red dot, Yembe Yembe, and they've got the gospel, and a church is planted. But look at all those other dots. SIL's working in some. We're working in some, but there's still over 200. Easy. Okay? They just had babies today. Some of them just died today. And what do you believe about those people that died? Do you really believe that they got to go to heaven, even though they didn't hear the message about Jesus? Does God make a third option for those guys? Those people that say, well, I don't know. You have to believe that God made a third way, because if you really believe that God said it's only through Jesus, then we got to get more people out there. You got to be a part of that, whether you're going yourself or you're sending others in your place. You have to feel it deep down, because that's only something God can put in your heart. Because that's the sad truth. I hate saying that, but it's a sad truth. There is more people. And thankfully, we have Buzz and Sammy, and hopefully they get one more black dot. It's going to take them 10 to 15 years to do missions work, which I think is church planting. Next slide. If you fly into Yembe, you land on the airstrip there, and then you look across the river. There's our village. This is where we lived. You can go to the next slide there. This is where we lived. And we built our house among them. We lived among them for over almost 10 years. Let's go to the next one there. We became engaged with them. They became our family. We became their family. We learned their culture and their language so that we could present the gospel to them. Now, the purpose wasn't just to get the gospel. That wasn't the great command that God gave, that Jesus gave to his disciples. He says, I want you to make disciples. How long does it take to make a disciple? Who wants to try and answer that? How long does it take to make a disciple? A long time. I would say at least 3 years, because that's how long Jesus spent with his disciples. So 3 years after the gospel, at least. I would say up to 10 to 15 to 20. So next, we have these people. These guys are our elders that we first marked. We spent years, year upon year. You see, the Holy Spirit's timeline to mature someone, to be an elder. How long did it take for some of you to become elders? How many years? How many ups and downs? Think back to our history, your history as an elder or a deacon or a trustee. It's the same there. They have the same sin nature that you and I do. It's messy. It takes year after year. Where he comes to me and he said, Tim, I messed up. You know, he's in training. He's under my wing as an elder. But finally, after 5.5 years, we had our first 3 elders. And then after a couple years, one of those elders had to step down because he actually had a secret sin that he wasn't telling anyone about. He was growing drugs and he was going out and doing drugs. Some tourist brought him marijuana one day and, you know, back in the 70s, and they've been doing it since. We have elders, and we had more elders come in. And then we finally got to give them God's word. We don't want to just disciple them and say, okay, just remember everything I told you and just go with that. How long would that last? By God's grace, he gave us a book written down, and he says, I want you to pass this on to them. And we did, and look at them. These are our disciples. They're like, they're going for the first time. I was in tears. And it says in the video, we were on the list to get this. Oh, man. Last on the list. Those black dots are last on the list. Yembe got it before those other dots, and that's why we're sending more, and we're always going to be about this until the last dot is reached. The last language is told and made disciples. It's not just we tell them the gospel and give them God's word. It's like, you, Kelly, you, Zacchaeus, you take my job. You take over. I'm leaving. And we did that. We have elders who are able to take it over and take it from here. And like Dave said, yes, about, I think, 17 hours ago, they had their service and they're singing to the Lord like we've sung. And that's what I think missions is about. That's what we're doing. It's so cool. We have missions months to focus on this. Next slide. So this man is Luke. You saw him at the very end. He held it up. He is our oldest believer. He was the first one to get a Bible. And that's very respectful in their culture. The guy with the most white hair or no hair gets first everything. So he was. And he was looking. He says, here we go. We have God's word. Let us not forget it. Let us not treat it as just trash. May this not sit on our shelves. We're getting it for our first time now. It's our job to hold it and give it to our children, just like these missionaries brought it to us. We can't let the rope get cut again like it did at Babel. We cannot let the rope get cut. And that's what he said. He handed up and he went and sat down. Well, he was sick, and in this past October, he died. But before he died, it was about a year. He was very sick, ill. And as I walked in, I said, how's Luke? And they say, man, he just won't die, that old guy. He just won't die. It's just, they're very blunt in Yembe. There's no PC political correctness there. He just won't die. Don't talk to him. Maybe he'll die. Maybe he needs to talk to you and then he'll go. Well, I went in there and I talked to him. I said, Luke, how you doing? He's like, I'm so good. He had a smile on his face. And he said, I tell you what, these guys, the witch doctor and his two sisters have come and they've tried to give me what they call the buai. They're like little betel nut things that they eat. And they said, they want me to go through the custom of opening it and then burning it and then offering it to some dead ancestor and think that's going to help me live longer. Or that's going to, you know, help me become this spirit as I walk around after I die. And he says, you're firewood! He said it just like that. I know, it woke me up. A few of you were looking down. You just woke up. Sorry. You're firewood! See, he's in his 60s. You know, oldest guy. He can say whatever he wants. And he's looking at these people saying, you're firewood. I straighten my talk with my creator. I know where I'm going to go when I die. I'm going to go be with him. You're going to see my body, but there's something inside that's just going to poof, and it's going to go out like a cloud, and you're not going to see it. Maybe you'll see it. I don't know if God wants to show you. Maybe he doesn't. You're so arrogant. You don't want to believe this thing. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be with him, and you're not, but there's still a chance for you. There's still a chance. I mean, he's evangelizing time and time and again. Is that people pay their respects because this guy just won't die. And they'll sit and listen, and they have to listen because that's honor-shame culture. They have to listen. And so he's like, I'm using this. And I don't stop, because if you pause and give him like a three-minute pause, that's the idea, we're done with this conversation, you leave. He said, I keep going. I keep him for an hour and 2 hours. This might be my last day to live. I just keep giving him what I can, whatever the Spirit's telling me. And he finally passed away in October. Man, what a way to go. Because Grow Bible Church sent missionaries overseas, and God worked and opened the eyes of the blind. That is what missions is. That's what we do. He was prepared for death. That's the title of this message. Preparing for death. We've prepared a lot of other Yembes for death as well. That's what we're all doing in reality. Preparing for that moment. If you turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, we're going to get into Word now. That's it for the slides today. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to hear a word from the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 4. I'm just going to give you the roadmap. We're going to go verse 4, verse 2, verse 13, and then we're going to go 6, 10. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason. And it's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. I'm loving it. You're going to love it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 4. My translation is the New Living translation, so I'm going to read it. If yours is another, that's fine. If you'd rather just read it after I read so you don't get frustrated. Sometimes I get frustrated, so options are yours. Go with it. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 4. Here we go. A wise person thinks a lot about death. while a fool thinks only about having a good time. When I read that, I just said, whoa. A wise person thinks a lot about death. Then I'm pretty stupid. Because I don't want to think about death. I don't like thinking about death. I spent my whole life trying to not think about death. Only a fool thinks about having a good time. I think back to my teenage years. I hated talking about death. I hated thinking about death. Death and pain. If I could use the word hate, those are the two things I hate. And I hated that this verse was here. I read this verse about 5 years ago. So I'm 36, I was 29. What'd that have been, 2012? Some of you understand what I'm going through. I shut the book that day and I don't want to think about it. But you know, God, he said, oh, we're not done yet, Timmy. Let's read it again. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. Back in 2013, I was reading in Proverbs about wisdom. The Lord was showing me that I'm just not a wise boy. I really don't have common sense and judgment by myself. He showed me that overall in our marriage. He gave it to Courtney, not me. She said, you shouldn't do that. And I went and did it, and she was right. I'm like, God, just tell me some wisdom here, man. God is showing me I need wisdom. So I was praying for wisdom. And then I see the word wise. Oh, okay, here we go, wisdom. No. I don't want to think about a lot about death. Come on, God. No. One thing in Yembe, they talk about death all the time. It is so prevalent. Someone dies every month on average. We'll have a disease run through the village, and we'll have 3 babies die like that, with 9 more on the verge of death. And I just couldn't believe how death was just a constant conversation in their conversation. They talk about death. Well, when I die, I'm going to, you know, it always came up when something bad happened, because they believe when they die, they actually become a spirit that runs around and terrorizes the people. It's their way of paying everyone back for their all wrong that was done to them. And they look forward to it. So when his brother stole from his garden, so his brother steals, he watches him, he's like, look at that, Tim. I'm like, what? He's like, he stole those 3 pumpkins from my garden. It's okay. I'll get him back when I'm dead. I'll make one of his kids sick or something. This was natural conversation every day, not even blinking an eye, not I'm embarrassed in front of the missionary. It's just, well, when I die. I know my wife messed around with that guy. I'm going to cut off one of his legs. He won't even know it's coming. After death. They talk about death. One lady, poor girl, every wife, every mom has lost a child, miscarried or actually lost a child. One of them, the most she lost was 6 children. And they give their names based on their ancestry. So if it was an ancestor name, it has like a powerful name. Like my name was Na'anol, which means bird warrior, black bird warrior. So that's my name. I was named after a warrior. They actually really thought I came back as black bird warrior. It's like, black bird's back. He's white. He's back. He's going to tell us the secrets to the big pot where we can get all the power and the money and be rich like they are. They really thought that. It's so cool after you have believers for 10 years and they just tell you, isn't that funny? We used to believe that, Tim. Man, we were so blind. So, I had a point there. What was I saying? Oh, death. So they're thinking about death. Clara, thank you. I love you. Every man needs a beautiful wife. Every man needs a beautiful wife. Okay. Clara lost 6 boys, and she was having her 7th. And so we're getting our stories. We're learning about culture and language. And, well, how did you end up naming him Dog? Like, why did you name him Dog? Dog Eater is actually the name. So I'll tell you what. I was sick and tired of wasting all my good names on all these babies that kept dying. So I gave him one of our dog names. And go figure, he lived. So death, they're always talking about death. It's in constant conversation. And here me, Tim, coming to DMB, I don't want to talk about it. Every time we went to funerals, I hated it because they're dying without hope. So they're wailing. Like, if you ever heard a person wail when they cry, that deep gut-wrenching. I just want to do this sometimes. They're like, they're yelling like that because they're dying without hope. Hated going to funerals. But he says, a wise person thinks a lot about death. Well, I want to be a wise person because I spent the last 29 years living in stupidity then, according to this verse, trying not to think about death as if not thinking about it's going to make it not happen. It's going to avoid it. Ecclesiastes 7:2, let's read it together. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies, so the living should take this to heart. I don't like funerals, Lord. That's exactly what I said when I read this. I don't like funerals. I don't like spending my time at funerals. It says, you want to be a wise man? Go to a lot of funerals. Because the living need to take this to heart, because the end of every man is death. The end of every man is death. So we spent a lot of time at every Yembe funeral. And then another thing I saw is pain in Yembe. Things were crooked. Things happened that why did that happen to that individual? One of our guys, his name was Peter. He's still alive today. He was on the road to become an elder. His wife believed, Rosemary. He believed. His name's Peter. And his wife got sick with a liver disease. And we were praying for her, and she died. And I remember holding him as he's just crying. He's like, I don't understand, but I know this is what God has planned for me. And I'm accepting it in my tummy. That's how they say it. I've accepted it right here, and it's okay. I just don't know why he took her. He's like, I'm just so sad. But I know she's with the Father right now. For some reason, the Lord had it. And then here in Ecclesiastes 7:13, this is exactly almost verbatim what Peter said to me. He said, accept the way God does things. For who can straighten what he has made crooked? Who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. I don't like that verse. Both? When I read this, I couldn't help think of Peter. He was saying that I'm realizing this is from God and I'm accepting it in my tummy and I'm okay. I'll see her one day, and someday he'll tell me why he did this, but I don't understand why. It was crooked. I was angry at God. Why did you take Peter? He's one of our gifted teachers. He still teaches today. He might have taught this last Sunday. I don't know. But he just said, someday I'm going to be an elder, if God wills, and I'm going to get another wife someday so I can be an elder, because an elder is a husband and one wife. So, God, why have you made these things crooked? Why? I don't understand. And then the last verse for today is Ecclesiastes 6:10. Ecclesiastes 6:10. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. So there's no use in arguing with God about your destiny. Oh, that's a big one. Because I've argued with God. I don't know about you, but when I see someone near death, I'm arguing with God. Like, no, God, no, this is not good. Leave this person alive. Why are you leaving this person in pain? I hate it. There's no argument with God. When I read this, another story of Yembe. A lady named Anastasia. You got to listen to this story. Because this is this verse. Okay, her husband Zacchaeus is an elder in the church today. They have three children, Annette, Wendolin, and Solomon. Wendolin was about 7 years old, little girl. Annette was a girl. Also, someone asked me, how do they have English names? Here's how not to do missions. I'll just say that before I say what they had their names. A missionary came in, said, you need your name written in the book of life, so I'm going to give you an English name. Give me a dollar, I'll give you a certificate that says, now your name's written in the book of life, And so everyone has now an English name. Said, yeah, I got my name in the book of life. It only cost me a buck. What else did you do? No, that was it. Cost me a buck. I just had to have an English name. That's called false teaching right there. And that's how everyone has an English name. Someone asked me, I thought I'd just tell you. So Wendolyn, English name, she was left in the village and she got sick. And Zacchaeus and Anastasia were out in town with their two oldest, or oldest Annette, putting her in school out in town. They heard that Wendolyn got sick. So they raced back and they were a day late and Wendolyn died of malaria. And she said, we got there, and it was the weirdest thing. It was like God was giving me the last moment. She was still warm after 2 days, which means she was still alive. She was probably in a coma. She was just asleep. And he said, the weirdest thing, after the next day, she was still warm. Like normally the bones sink, the skin sinks in and everything, but we threw in, and she was just as warm and red as ever, but we buried her anyways. They buried her alive. And we talked with a doctor later, and they think there was a little blood in the ear, and they think she might have had, I don't know, there are so many options. They said that without urgent medical care, if they'd been out in town, if they would have just taken her out in town, maybe. This is me arguing with God. Tim, there's no use in arguing with, I was arguing with God. Man, if you just guided them, I mean, he's an elder in our church. He has your Holy Spirit to say, take Wendolyn with you, and you'll be in the hospital. She might have lived. Well, I was thinking that, so was some of our other believers. And what Anastasia said, she said, there's no use in arguing with God. Even if we took her out, God has marked the time for Wendolyn's death. Even if we could have had her out in the hospital, if he said it's time, and this is what our guys do, this is why I do it. When he says it's time and he does this to your life, you're done. And so Zacchaeus is up front in tears. And the guys in Yemby are trying to get him to recant his belief in Christ. They're trying to say, you know, forget this Jesus junk. She died because of Jesus junk that you're following. And he said, no. When God says it's time, boom, it's time. And she believed in Jesus. And so I'm going to see her again. When God says it's time, no one's going to argue with him. And that just stuck with me because I like to argue with God about my destiny or about my son's destiny. Today's title of the message is Preparing for Death. I have not spent many hours preparing for my death or preparing for my son's death because it's too painful to think about. But I've sensed the Lord a few months ago say it's time to think about child's death. And so I picture Benjamin there in the casket and the coffin and me there. And I started arguing in my office in this moment, picturing God taking him. He said, I've taken Benjamin. I'm like, no, not Benjamin. Yep, it's time. Oh, I can't handle this. Yes, you can. I'm going to be there with you. Why is it time now? Why? It shouldn't be now. It's too soon. He's too young. I can't take this. Tim, I want you to prepare for this because it's coming. I pictured myself next to Courtney's casket, crying. This is what started to happen. I'm in my office 2 months ago, and I'm just bawling my eyes out, and I started doing this. How dare you? And I saw this thing in me. I started to become bitter inside. He's like, Tim, I'm trying to prepare you for what's coming. Because it's the end of every person. Yeah, there could be us going caught up into heaven. He said, I want you to be prepared for death. It is going to refine you. This is a wise exercise to go through, Tim. Because I want you to be a wise man. Elijah, Judah, I did the same thing with each of them. And I couldn't believe I saw my fist raise at God. And when I used to teach sports week, this is what I did when I talked about what Satan did. When Lucifer, one of the angels, left. I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing the same thing. I want bitterness. And he says, there's no arguing with him, Tim. The more I've thought about death, I realized if I die, I'm leaving a widow. And how many times have I taught about taking care of the widows and orphans? And the Lord's like, right now, you can get your mind ready to take care of the future widow, Courtney, if you die. I also did the reverse thinking, them around my casket crying. And so we got life insurance. That's one way. That's like taking care of the widows and orphans, just in future tense. I lived in stupidity for so many years. Thinking about death refines you. It's refined me. I was really angry when I got the news that Kate and Patrick passed. We prayed for him every day. Every single day, night. And the Lord said it was time. Oh. Get ready for the next one because it's coming. That's what wise men do. Instead of sitting there, spending my time in front of the TV or talking about nothing that really matters, I need to take time to prepare for everyone's death, everything that's coming. Are you ready for God to say, it's time to take your wife? Are you ready for saying, and I just feel like now the more I've thought about it, he comes, puts his arm around me, and he said, Tim, it's time. Courtney's gone. Okay. Let's work through that. I know I have tears, but I have more joy than I've ever had. It is the weirdest thing. And some of you, I see a couple of you nodding. Maybe you've already been down this road. Like, I have more joy with Courtney now. Like, instead of getting in an argument or we get a small argument, it ends pretty quickly when I think about death. Like, you know what? Let me just rub your feet. Let me serve you because this might be my last day to serve you, hon. More joy. You want the secret to joy? It's through pain. It's through death. It's the weirdest thing. God promised you and me that we would know good and evil. You don't hear that in the 99 promises for the Christian. Think about it. He promised Adam and Eve you would know good and what? He wouldn't make good on his promise if you didn't know pain and evil and death. You got to know both. And through both, somehow there's this joy that comes out, and I don't understand it. He's promised good and evil. And when I think about that, it's like, oh, duh. Of course death isn't happening because I have to know evil. I'm going to know good, and I got to know evil. But I don't want to know evil. I don't want to talk about it. God's like, you have to talk about evil because I promised you would know good and evil. Listen up, Tim. It's through this pain that Courtney's going through. You're going to learn something. You want this deep spiritual death, but it's not going to come without this deep pain. Just as the deep goodness you see, you're going to see the deep evil that's in this world. And it's through both that you get this deep, satisfying devotion, this constant connection with me, Tim. And then through that, there's joy through knowing good and evil. Because that's the tree Adam and Eve ate from, and that's the tree we're all eating from today. And that brings comfort to my soul. One thing that's come up in the last month, he just struck me, and I know it's some of you have said this as well. Caden got to meet Luke before I did in heaven. Caden has probably already talked to Luke. He's probably already seen Mary Rose and Lawrence. He's probably seen Grandpa praying. And everyone else put the name there. They're in a real place. Jesus says, you talk about Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham as if they're dead, but they're alive. They're just in a different location. And as a missionary, we can really understand that because we're over here. And the Yemi people over there, but they're still alive. I just can't see them. And it's the same with them. Whoever has passed away and they believed in Jesus, they're still alive right now. And that brings joy. That's what I mean, the joy that you just can't explain, but the Lord just touches your heart and says, this is real. You can't see it, but it's through faith that it's real and it's happening right now. You better prepare for your death and prepare for the rest of the death. Otherwise, this is what you do. And until you raise down your fist, you're never going to have satisfying time with the Lord. Until you bring down that fist, you're never going to experience this exciting Christian life. You might be in church every day. Every time the doors are opening, you wonder why. Because you hate the evil, and you won't let God teach you through the evil that he wants to teach you. There's a lesson in the pain. There's a lesson in the pain, and I know so many are in pain, and that's what I pray. As you're in the pain, that you would let that pain work its way through as God wants to teach you through it. Because he's been teaching us through Courtney's pain. And he's taught us through so many of you, as you've been telling us your story about the pain each of you is going through. We get so encouraged. We're not the only ones walking in pain. And you're not the only one walking in pain. Somehow there's joy. It's just this crazy, weird thing, how you have good and evil. And tomorrow is Courtney's MRI of her brain. Doctor's going to be looking for tumors. Hopefully that's not the reason. Her headaches just won't go away. But if it is, and the Lord says in 2 years it's time for Courtney, that's okay. It has to, because he's the creator and he is marked every single day. How many blueberries you're going to eat? How many gluten-free you're going to go? Your day of dying is dying. Then how many P90X I do every day to try and get my muscles looking like Frank? It's never going to worry. I'm still going to die on the day I die. That's the message. Prepare for death. Because it refines you like a way I've never experienced. Let us pray. Father, I pray that we would each prepare for death in the way you want us to, and we would be ready as we can be for when you take the person next to us that our arms around, you take the child that we don't want to die at 10 years old, we don't want this person, that aunt. Oh, I pray you prepare us now for when you say, Tim or so-and-so, it's time. I pray that we be ready for what you promised will come. In Jesus' name, amen.